All right. We'll try our best this morning. We're thankful for that song, and I know that you that are saved knows what she was singing about, and a lot of truth in that song. This morning in the book of Zechariah, the fourth chapter is where we'll be reading from. Zechariah, the fourth chapter, and while you turn there, let me just brag on the Lord how good He's been to each and every one of us. And the message this morning that is upon our hearts is twofold. It's for those that don't know the Lord, and it's for those of us that do know the Lord. And how many of you has had mountains in your life that you've had to face? And not just in the past, but even recently. And maybe even this morning, somebody has a mountain that's in your life, and you don't know how in the world that it's you're going to make it over that mountain, or how you're going to be able to, even if there's a way that you can get past that mountain that's in your life. But in the book of Zechariah, in the fourth chapter, he talks about such a mountain. And that's what I want to preach about today for a few minutes of time, starting at the first verse in the fourth chapter. And we made mention of this, I believe, last week or a week before in a message about this first part of this chapter. So it'll sound very familiar to you today. And the first verse reads and says, "And the angel that talked with me came again and walked or waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." And stop reading with verse 7. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. And the children of Israel under Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, was trying their best to rebuild after they had been in captivity and after the destruction that had been brought to their land. And the Bible teaches us that Zerubbabel, the governor again, that he came and his people came against a great mountain that stood in the way of them being able to rebuild Jerusalem. And many folks, as we look at this, will see the similarities in our life. Has the Lord, through His Word, told you that you shall prosper? Has the Lord through His Word told you that you shall be saved? Has the Lord through His Word told you that in all of your going in and your coming out, that the Lord would take care of you? But yet it seems like that there's a mountain that's always standing in your way. There's always a hindrance. The mountain that they was talking about here goes all the way back. If you want to read more about this, you can go back to the book of Ezra and see how that Darius, King Darius, made a decree that all the work would stop. In the third chapter of Ezra, he said that there's no more work to be done on the temple. It's all done just because his father had blessed the work, and Cyrus, the king, and wanted to see the temple rebuilt. His son did not follow in his father's footsteps. Darius was a great blockage to the rebuilding of the temple. And when Zerubbabel and all of his followers that was trying to work in rebuilding of the temple, they had labored for a long time, and then it was stopped because Darius became king. And when he became king, he put an end to the work there. And the prayer that's going out here by Zechariah the prophet was that the Lord showed him a dream by the angel that came unto him and showed him these seven candlesticks that had a bowl that set on top of it and two olive trees, one on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side. And folks say, what's the significance of the seven lamps with the bowl and the two olive trees that was on either side of the bowl? And it comes down, if I can simplify it this morning, because I don't want to preach about the candlesticks, but I want to preach about this mountain, is that it comes down to that without a source, without the oil, the candlesticks have no power within themselves. Without the bowl that feeds them, they are of no good. The lights aren't on. And if the bowl doesn't have the oil in it, it cannot feed the candlesticks. And you say, where does it get the oil from? The bowl got its oil from the two olive trees, one on each side, that fed into the bowl, and the bowl fed the oil to the seven lamps. And all of this, it is so symbolic, and yet it's so real this morning, because you remember that in the book of Revelations that God told them that if you don't do what I ask you and tell you to do by His word, that I will remove your candle out of the candle holder and the candlestick, and you and I have no life without the Lord's oil in our life today that feeds us and gives us the power that we have need of. So He moved on and He said unto them, do you really know what all this means when I show you these pictures? And He said, but no, I don't. But then the word came from the angel that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Today, you and I do not have the power nor the might to remove the mountain that's in our way. To remove the mountain that is a hindrance. To remove the mountain that is stopping us from getting the blessing that God wants us to have. And some of you this morning can relate with this, because you know that over on the other side of that mountain is where God wants you to be. It's where God wants you to go so that you can receive that which He has promised unto every one of us. And has anybody else read the promises of God's Word? He's got a lot promised to us. And if we ever want to get to the promises that God has given to us, we have to get beyond the mountain that is in front of us. And how do we get to that mountain, to get that mountain removed? He said that mountain should be made into a plain. Is that the only way that we can get there is by grace. People say, how does the grace bring it through? The Bible says that grace is an unmerited favor of God. It says also that it is free mercy of God. But the word, the description or that I like best is the enjoyment of His favor. How many of you have enjoyed the favor of God through grace in your lifetime? And not only that, but what He has blessed us with yesterday and in days past, God has not shut off His supply, because the two olive trees are still feeding into the bowl. And God has got more blessings in store for us if we can just get past the mountain that's there in front of us. Some folks might ask me this morning and say, where did the mountain come from? The mountain was put there by the devil himself. The devil put it there to try to stop the working of the temple, because he knew when the temple got completed that folks would be in there singing praise unto their Lord. Folks would be in there reading from the Word, and people's lives would be judged, and people would have the opportunity to get saved. Anytime God wants to do good, the devil is going to put a mountain in front of you to try to stop you from getting to where God wants you to go. Zerubbabel saw this mountain and he said that it was there, but he said, grace is going to bring me through it. Grace is going to give us the victory over this mountain and give us what God wants us to have today. You have two choices in this situation. Whenever the devil comes against you, you can just throw up your hands and say, there's a mountain, I can't go any further, and I'm just going to stop where I'm at. Or you could seek the power of God, the help of the Lord, to come down and remove that mountain that is there in your way. People say, well, if I have those choices, why do so many people get stuck in their lives where they're at and they become content where they're at? And you remember several years ago, I brought a message here at the church that told the children of Israel, we've come past this mountain long enough. We have been here, and that mountain has been blocking us for all these days, months, weeks, years, however long it's been. And as long as you're content, the devil will let you sit right there and think about what could have been. When God wants you to say, Lord, by your grace, this mountain is going to be removed, and I'm not going to sit here and think about what could have been, but I'm going to go in and enjoy what the Lord has in store for me and mine. People, when we look at this mountain and we look at the grace that we have need of, people say, well, I don't have the power, I don't have the might. You read the scripture that is there, that he said, not by might nor by power. How can I get to where the Lord wants me to go? And it's only by the power of God, through His Spirit, that any of us have got any trophies. Anybody got any trophies this morning in your Christian life, your spiritual life, that you look at and you say, and then I want to say this, it's only by His Spirit that I have anything that I can brag about, that about what my life has accomplished thus far. And Sister Ruby, I know this in a natural sense, and I'll try not to be too long-winded this morning. In a natural sense, I do not have any trophies that sit up on a mantle that show the victories that I have had through participation in a team sport or even in an individual sport. But how many of us as children of God, we have got trophies that are upon the mantle of our heart, because we know the battles that we have been through. We know the mountains that was in our way. And folks, as our Sunday school teacher said this morning, men, it's not inscribed with my name on it. Every victory I have received, every victory that I have been a part of, it's not because of my strength, it's not because of my power, but it's because of the grace of God that I have anything that I can brag about this morning whatsoever. If the Lord has been good to you, folks, it's not you and I that ought to be bragging upon ourselves, but we ought to be saying, look what the grace of God did for me when the devil put a mountain in front of me and tried to stop me from receiving that which God wants me to have today. And the Bible says that every one of us has access to the grace that God wants us to have. There's not a one of us that is an outsider, because He brought grace to every one of us, even you that are lost this morning. Grace is available to you if you will just claim it today. Say, how do you have this access? The Bible says in the book of John in the first chapter that grace came by Jesus Christ, that nobody else can give it to you. The deacons can't give it to you. The pastor can't give it to you. And you say, well, this mountain has been there. And sometimes, folks, and I'm trying to preach short this morning, but there's so much to cover in this. Sometimes even we get so happy that we just sit in the shadow of the mountain, and we just throw up our hands, as I've already said, and we say that I can't do anything about it. It's there in front of me, and I can't do a thing about this mountain that is there. But I want to remind you that are saved this morning, the greatest mountain that was ever in our way was a mountain that was called sin and destruction. You and I did not have the power nor the strength to overcome that mountain that was there. But I remember when the Spirit of the Lord come to me in my heart and said, you don't have to worry about removing the mountain. If you will just trust in my name, God is able to remove that mountain out of your life and give you the victory over it, Brother Wayne. And some of you this morning remember that as well. I don't think we preach about that enough for a few minutes. minutes, as I said on Wednesday night's message, if I can just stop right here and tell you, folks, every one of us that's been saved by God's grace, it ought to bring tears to our eyes. It ought to bring joy to our heart when somebody preaches or sings a song about that I once was lost, but now I'm found. It ought to cause a rejoicing to break out in the house of the Lord, because that mountain is forever out of my way, and I don't have to worry about that mountain ever again coming into my life. And folks say, you've got that mountain out of the way, then what's all these other mountains that the devil brings? There's mountains of disappointments that God that the devil brings to us. Every one of us has had those in our life. There's mountains of sickness that the devil will bring against you, and some of you have had those mountains in your life. There's mountains of fear, as has already been made mention of this morning, that with uncertainty, the unknown part of life, and we have that mountain that is there. There's mountains of worry that we have. Anybody else worry today about your children and your grandchildren? You worry about our country. You worry about our churches. You worry about what the future holds. Every one of us has got mountains. There's mountains of people letting us down, and the devil allow that to stop us from going on and enjoying the fellowship that God wants us to have with our brothers and sisters. There's all kinds of mountains and that the devil will bring and try to stop us. All the devil wants to do, church, this morning, if I can preach to the church for a few minutes of time, the devil wants to take away the joy of serving the Lord and the joy of knowing Him by putting a mountain in your way to overshadow those things that are good that God has blessed us with. Has God been good to anybody else this morning? And the devil will try to take away that thought, as our Sunday school teacher said, that some of you that's had the news pronounced unto you about the bad diseases that has invaded your body, and people say, well, it's only because of medicine, it's only because of the doctor, it's only because of the surgery that you got the healing that you had need of. I know some folks that when the mountain came there, they went right to the mountain mover in Jesus Christ, and they prayed and they called out upon His name. And folks, this morning, as Jim has said, and I'm trying to preach short, but I feel the Lord in this house today. But when the Lord comes in and the Spirit comes to your soul, it's not to wait until the end of the service to go pray. But when you're thinking and you're sitting there this morning and God is saying, you see that mountain that's there? I can take that mountain and make it a plain. A plain is a place that is level ground that you can walk on. I'm thankful this morning that anytime you trust in the Lord, He can take that mountain and make it level ground for you to walk upon, because God did not intend for our life to be all hard times, all rough sailing. He intended for us to have a good life. Folks, if there's anything bad in our life, it's because the devil has tried to stop you from getting to where God wants you to go. I have come this morning to preach a message that there is no mountain that the devil puts in our life that the God that we serve is not able to remove it today. Amen. He is able to take everything the devil does to try to stop you from receiving God's blessings. God is able to speak to that mountain and to make it as if it was never there. But we've got to trust in His name. We've got to have faith in Him today. And we've got to just believe. As He said in the book of Acts, we got to believe through grace, that grace is able. Is there anything that grace isn't able to do this morning? There is nothing that the devil can do to a born-again child of God. What did the writer say? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today we need to realize, instead of us saying there's nothing more that I can do, I've done all that I can, I can't go any further, that instead of us saying I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I've not seen any answer yet, instead of us saying they was taught better but yet they don't do any better, instead of us saying they say they were saved but we don't see any fruits out of their life, what we ought to be saying is, God, not by my might, not by my spirit, not by my words, but Lord, if you will send the Spirit by their way, I know that you can remove every bit of that problem that's in their life. And I just want to preach to you this morning for a few more minutes of time that there is still some of us that come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we still come to church, but we have those mountains that's there, and we're afraid to try our best to try to tackle it. We just become accustomed to it and acceptive of that mountain, when what we ought to be saying is, Lord, you know it's been long enough that that mountain's been in front of me. It's time, Lord, by your Spirit, that if you will speak, I will see the victory. And not only will I see the victory, but I'm going to shout grace, grace unto the Lord, because it's not that I deserve for it to be moved. It's by God's grace that He moves those mountains for us. The Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All grace. Anybody else need some all grace this morning? Amen. That we need it to where we can be like Zerubbabel was. That old mountain. You know, sometimes the Bible tells us we got to speak to our mountains. Anybody else spoke to your mountains? You know what? When I speak to my mountains, they're just like the man was when he said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? Yeah. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. But I have to remind him, it's not by my name, old mountain. It's not by the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, old mountain. But it's by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah. That mountain, you cannot stay where you're at. Because He's told me that His Spirit is able to remove that mountain and take it away and make it so I can cross on level ground and get the victory that I have need of. But look at this, folks. Zerubbabel said this. He said, even when the mountain becomes a plain, I'm going to cry out and say, grace, grace unto it, because it's the Lord's grace that made it possible that we're not having. Can I go back for a minute? God did not intend for our lives to be up and down, up and down. God intended for our lives to be a level plane, to where we would receive the blessings that He wanted us to have all the days of our life. People say, Roger, you've gone too far this morning. The Bible teaches us that God only wants good things for His people. He said, all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. Everything that God wanted us to have has always been good, but the devil has brought bad things into our lives, and we've allowed it to disrupt us from receiving the good things that God wants us to have. Let me go back for a minute. Zerubbabel, when they got there and Darius made that decree, he could have said, okay, Lord, we had good intentions. We wanted to get this temple rebuilt, but now this mountain's here. We might as well just pack up our tools and go back to the house, because, Billy, we can't go any further. Lord, you know Darius is bigger than I am. He's the king, and here we are, and I'm just a governor. There is nothing that I can do when the king says that you have to lay down your tools and stop. He could have sat right there. And folks, I've known Christians this morning, as well as lost people, that when that time come in their life, they just said, I'll just sit right here and I'll just stay here for the rest of the days of my life. But Zerubbabel said, no, this is not my work that I came to do. I come to do the work of God. I come to rebuild the temple, because God's people need a place where they can gather and lift up hands of praise unto the Lord. Folks, when the devil comes against us, we have the same choices. We can stop and say, I've been defeated. Or we can lift up our heads and say, Lord, will you help me one more time? Anybody need the Lord one more time to help you to move that mountain that's in front of you? And you say, well, I'd go to the altar and pray, but people might wonder and question what kind of mountain it is that I'm facing. Folks, God knows about it and you know about it. It's none of my business. It's none of the deacon's business. God says if you will move, I will move that mountain so that you can walk on a plain ground. And I believe it like this, and I feel like that preaching this morning. I believe it like this. A mountain is composed of rocks, is it not? I believe that when God moves that mountain, you won't even find a stone that you have to walk upon. It will not be a gravel highway. It will be a plain highway. People say, how can you preach that? When the children of Israel went through the Red Sea and they went through the Jordan. Well, let me go back to the Red Sea. The Bible says that they walked through there, and when they came out the other side, there wasn't even the dust of the Red Sea bed upon their feet today. God makes a way, church, that when He moves a mountain, you can walk on good ground. Hallelujah. Bible teaches us that Jesus said unto His people, God said unto His people, my grace is sufficient. That there is nothing, nothing. Sufficient means it covers it all. Amen. You say, well, my mountain's different than her mountain, or my mountain's different than his mountain. Folks, every one of us come this morning with a mountain in our life. Amen. Every one of us did. Some of us, it's bigger than the others. Some of us allow the devil to exaggerate how big the mountain is. Anybody else ever look back in your life with a time when you thought it was a mountain and you seen the Lord come by and move it, and you look back at Him and you say, you know, that thing really wasn't that big. You know why it doesn't look that big? But for one, it's in your rearview mirror. And the second thing is because God's grace is able to bring it down and make it so that you have the encouragement, and so that you have, you know, a lot of Christians have lost their ability to pray, and because they've lost their ability to pray, the mountains just linger and linger and linger, and they don't have the strength. That's why sometimes, and I didn't always go preach like this, Larry Jones. That's why sometimes we come to church and we say, church, pray for me, because this is too big and it's more than I can stand. When God is saying, you have the power to pray just like the rest of the church does. And when you get right and you begin to pray, the mountain will begin to move. Oh, that's hard preaching on a Sunday morning. That's hard. The Bible says, and it says, we look at this man, Zerubbabel, and all that he had. Zerubbabel said, I can't stop. I can't stop. You know why I can't stop? Because the foundation has to be laid. And the coronation stone has to be put in place. Our mountain is stopping us. This morning, church, and lost man and woman, to the same tune this morning. God has began a good work in many of our lives. If I could put it like this, the foundation has been laid. But we have allowed mountains and mountains and mountains to stop us from getting the coronation stone put in its place. And people say, I've never heard that. It's also called the headstone. Some of you say, I thought those were only in cemeteries. The headstone was the final stone that was put in place on the building to commemorate that it's done. It was a time of celebration. You know, they celebrated after they got the foundation put in place. Today we have the foundation in place. And what is the foundation? It's none other than Jesus Christ. But we've not finished the building. And I have to confess as well this morning. In life, I'm not talking about in the church, but in life, how many of you are folks that just keep putting off and putting off and putting off? Some of you don't want to confess on a Sunday morning. You're afraid that everybody else will look and see if you go to the altar. What we do is we procrastinate.
And we've got folks in our congregation this morning that have procrastinated in accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The devil, even though they're lost, the devil has put a mountain there saying things like he said to us, if you get saved, you'll not have any more friends. If you get saved, you'll miss out on living the life that you're supposed to be living. If you get saved, your life will not be like it was, and you won't never have another good time. Folks, let me tell you, I'm having the time of my life in knowing Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how can you say you're not out with the world? You're not out doing the things that they're doing? I know this, that when I lay down upon my bed at night, if I never see the dawning of another day, that I'm going to heaven. And folks, I can rejoice in that. That mountain the devil cannot put back in my way because God removed it once and for all. Zerubbabel said, I'm not going to stop until I see the foundation finished. And I see the top stone or the crowning stone put in its place. And when they put the final stone in place, they were shouting, grace, grace unto it. Unto the Lord they were shouting grace because it was God that allowed them to enjoy His favor for a spell of time while they was working on the temple. This morning, whatever your mountain is, a mountain of sin that you've become to where you're acceptive, that's the way it is. You think and you purpose in your heart, someday I'm going to ask the Lord to move that mountain. Some of us that are Christians that we've allowed mountains, and I didn't come to get in your business this morning, I just come to preach the gospel. But sometimes we allow our lives to become so busy that we take out the most important thing that there is. And the most important thing there is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can use every excuse in the world not to be in church. Help me close this morning, church. We can use every excuse, a mountain that the devil will give us. How many of you don't have a hard time coming up with excuses? You know why we don't have a hard time? Because the devil's got a book full of them. An excuse, folks, let me tell you, an excuse is easier to find than a reason to just do it. It's easier. I can say, well, I can do that tomorrow. And there's been things that I put off till tomorrow, and that when tomorrow comes, I say, I wish I would have done that yesterday. Because now it's raining. Now the weather has changed. Now the time is not permissive. Sometimes, and I'm not complaining this morning, I'm just expounding upon this as I'm trying to come to a close. Sometimes I'll say, well, I'll do that tomorrow, and tomorrow comes and I get a phone call and I have to leave and I'm not able to be there to do it tomorrow. I painted that picture to allow us to see that if you're ever going to start working for the Lord, if you're ever going to get that building built and get the crowning stone put in place, it's time that we get to work for God, because there will always be a mountain that will stop you. Some will say, when the rest of my family gets right, then I'll start going back to church. I'll start working in church. Some will say, when this one gets saved, then I'll get saved. God doesn't work that way. Some will say that as soon as the kids get grown, then I'll be more active in the church. I'll work harder. And when the kids get grown, they've not come any closer to working for God than they was when the kids were little. You know I'm preaching you the truth. Some say when I retire, then I'll start working for God like I'm supposed to. What they do is allow the devil to put that mountain there that you don't have time. And folks, let me tell you, you and I have a lot more time than what we think that we have. If we really want something in our life, we make time for it. Oh, some of you say, Pastor, now you can close with that message. We allow the devil to put mountains in our way to take us away from God, to take us away from the church, and to take us away from our brothers and sisters. Folks, let me close with saying, there is nothing out in this world that is worth jeopardizing your late relationship with God by allowing the devil to put it there and you to accept that it's always going to be that way. If there's anything in your life that you want to change this Sunday morning while Rob and Sharon gets us a song of invitation, and it might be strange, but I didn't know I was going to mention that in the message, but bring your book and sing that song, Trophy of Grace, because some of us need to go back to the trophies, the mountains that God has moved for us. And folks, people say, well, that's a song, that's not an invitational song. If we will think about what the Lord has done for us in the past, it will give us the encouragement, it will give us the steam, it will give us the drive to be able to say, Lord, you know what's in front of me now, and I can't do a thing about moving that mountain. But Lord, if you will, not by my power, not by my strength, but by your Spirit, Lord, you're able by grace to move that mountain on my behalf. Any of you got any of those trophies this morning? Some of you prayed and prayed and prayed. And I'm trying to find a hush in place. And God moved your mountain. He moved it for you. And you say, well, I know that. If you know that God has moved your mountain, then have you given Him the praise for doing so? Or have you allowed the time to go by? Some folks will say, well, that was that. Has anybody else ever thought about going and thanking the Lord for something, and then the next thing you know, it was 3 months, 6 months, and a year down the road, and the devil say, there's no reason to go back and thank Him for that. Everybody knows what happened, and that was so long ago. You know what the devil has come? He has come, and when the Lord moved one mountain, He put another one right back in your way to stop you from praising the Lord for what God did for you. Zerubbabel said, the foundation's laid, and I've already got the crowning stone ready to go in place. And I'm not going to stop until that stone is put there. Amen. You know what he had the determination to do? Devil, you put this mountain here. You know, sometimes we have to give the devil notice. You thought that one stopped me. But look what my God did. I have made up my mind. I am determined that there is nothing that's going to stop me from praising the Lord. That's what we have to present to Him. You want to put a mountain in my way? I'll show you what my God can do. People say, oh, the pastor's getting abrasive this morning. No, we have succumbed to the devil long enough. We have allowed ourselves to be defeated long enough. Some of you today that want to get the blessings that God's got in store for you, you must first get that mountain removed. Will you come while she sings this song, Trophy of Grace, and allow the Lord to remove your mountain? Listen at this. You should have already come this morning because of what the Lord has done for you. Look, there was a mountain that was there. Yes.
Why I can't hold back the tears.
That's what the children of Israel did. They started shouting, grace, grace. Bless that one today. Somebody else that needs to come this morning. Follow your heart.
I want to give.
Follow your hearts. Nobody here but us and God.
I stand before you, knowing
bless
that
him, Lord.
It's only by His grace.
Yes. How about you that are lost today? You can't do anything about it
today,
except for to trust in Jesus Christ.
I'm a trophy of
yes.
grace.
Others that's coming. Why don't you come today? Ask the Lord to remove that mountain out of your life. Because it's stopping you from getting the blessings that God has in store for you.
Though I'll never understand why He died in my place.
Just look at it now.
Look at me today.
Yes.
Because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
We have to get past it today, church, so that we can really give God the honor and glory that he's deserving of. Listen at this.
Though there is no way,
yes,
I can repay his love.
He's been better to us than we could ever tell about.
The mercy he's shown is more than life to me.
Anybody else today that needs to come?
There's nothing I can do or say.
It'll change your life when the mountain is gone.
That would be enough.
It'll change your life.
To pay the debt of sin.
Yes.
He paid for me. My life's testimony.
Of every mountain that he's moved.
His mercy.
Yes.
Love and grace.
Amen.
Oh, and one day I'm gonna thank him face to face.
Amen. For every mountain that he moved, I'm gonna praise him.
A display of his love. I'm part of the results from the old rugged cross that was stained with his precious blood. Though I'll never understand why he died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
Yes.
God's amazing grace.
Amen and amen. I heard my grandfather and them say, you know, in days gone past, they was talking about some trouble that somebody come into, and they would say, he made his bed, let him lie in it. I'm glad God doesn't say that. Because some of us has messed up so many times. But God's grace come back again. And we move that mountain out of our way. I thank Him today. I hope you got something from the Word. Anybody that come to pray, got anything on your heart? Bless you, Jim.
Thank you for that.